Tonight is the fourth lesson in a 10-lesson series that we're bringing from Luke 15. We studied a general lesson on saving the lost, and then we studied a lesson on the lost sheep, and then a lesson on the lost coin. There will be six more lessons after tonight, including a lesson on the Father, a lesson on the world, a lesson on the elder brother, and a lesson on what I call the way down and then the way up. And tonight is the first of three lessons in this series about the prodigal son. Tonight we're going to be looking at the son as he left home. In a few weeks we'll be looking at the son as he returned home. And then toward the end, maybe the 10th lesson will be what the prodigal son did not say. We'll talk about what he said, but I want us to have a lesson on what he did not say. Tonight, as we think about this, we're really at about verse 11 in Luke 15. Jesus said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of these of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that belongeth to me or falleth to me," and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, where he wasted his substance with riotous living. We tend to emphasize the far country. We tend to emphasize the young man as he was in the hog pen, or perhaps even after he had left the hog pen and had come home. But I want us to think tonight about the young man before he left. It is important for us to understand that in each of these three stories, the sheep, the coin, and the son, that all three were first in the right place, then were in the wrong place, and then came back to the right place. This story, this chapter, is not intended to talk about our work in saving the lost among alien sinners, although that's emphasized in many other places. It's talking about saving those that have left home and need to be brought back home. The sheep had left the fold, the coin was away from the other nine, and the prodigal son went into a far country. But at the same time that we need to emphasize bringing the erring back, I think, folks, we need to do a better job emphasizing keeping the faithful at home. I'm thankful that God will forgive. And as we studied this morning, I believe God will forgive us of any sin if we're willing to obey his will as he has taught us. I don't believe there is a specific sin in the Bible, but that God will forgive it if we are penitent and obedient. And I'm thankful for that. And perhaps we need to do a better job emphasizing, especially to our younger generation, when they get into problem areas and go astray, that they can come home. I think sometimes, without meaning to, we sort of leave the impression to our young people, well, if you make a mistake and get out there, then just tough luck. You're out there, you're the one that did it, so just, as we used to say when I was growing up, they'd say, he made his bed, let him lie in it. Well, that's true that many bring their problems upon themselves. But we ought never to be interested in pushing anybody down. We ought never to be interested in saying to them that it's worse than it is. And certainly we ought never to leave the impression that there's no way back. There is always a way back. Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it involves a lot of effort. And sometimes it involves a lot of changing. But there is a way back. But that's the lesson we're going to talk about mainly when we get down to the subject of the son as he returned. I want us to think tonight about this boy before he left. The Bible doesn't reveal a great deal about it. It talks about that he had a father, he had a brother. I don't know the relationship that these two boys had before this younger one left. Some of the things that happened later indicate that it may have been less than perfect. In fact, having reared four children, I can tell you that any relationship among siblings is usually a little bit less than perfect. I suspect that these boys had their problems, but I doubt that they had any problem that was serious enough for this young man to really want to leave home. Every indication is that his father was well off, or at least had all the means that was necessary for his boys to have what they needed and maybe basically what they wanted. And yet this young man decided to leave home. We need to think about trying to keep our young folks at home if we possibly can. As I said earlier, I'm glad that there's a way to bring the erring back. And I'm glad that when we injure our physical bodies, that there is a way that we can be healed. But frankly, I'm going to say to you, and I think you would agree with me, I'd rather not cut my finger than to cut it and know that there's a way to heal it. I'd rather not mash my finger, even though I believe that eventually it will heal. I'd rather avoid that if possible. And so what we're thinking about tonight is the young man was at home. We need to be concerned about keeping him there. I mentioned a passage of Scripture this morning that I emphasize even in a greater way tonight. After, in the latter part of 1 John 1, he tells us that if we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and where he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He then says, beginning in chapter 2, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You remember how we talked this morning that propitiation is like an umbrella that shields us from the wrath of God when we allow the blood of Christ to be in that position. But are we sometimes emphasizing that and forgetting that other little statement that's in that verse? "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not." Now that's the idea of keeping the prodigal son at home. He's at home, keep him at home if you possibly can. Suppose I'm standing at the top of a bluff or a cliff, and maybe it's 100 or 200 yards to the bottom of it. And I have been taught that if I jump off of something, that going down is really a delight. It really has pleasure in it. And I overlook the fact that there's a landing down there. How many times have you heard somebody say it's not the fall that hurts, it's the landing at the end of it? Well, now, if I'm standing up here on top of that cliff, I know if I jump off and injure myself that there is an ambulance on call. I know that there's an emergency room. I know that there are doctors there who probably can take care of any injury that I might sustain. But let me tell you something. I don't want to call that ambulance. I don't want to go to that emergency room. It would suit me fine if I never went to another doctor. Although I'm thankful that we have the medicine that we have, and we have all the doctors that we have and the specialist. I'm expecting soon for us to have specialists that deal with the right toe and specialists that deal with the left toe. But I'm glad we have all of these. But folks, I don't want to go to either one of them. I want to stay away if I possibly can. If I'm driving up the road or down the road from here tonight home, I know that if I have an accident and injure myself, that there will be somebody that will come. There will be somebody that will take care of my needs, and probably, unless it's a terrible one, I'll be able to recover. But let me tell you something. I don't want to have an accident. I want to avoid it. Well, that's what I'm saying tonight with this son. He needed to stay at home. You know, we have a lot of problems in our families, and I experience that with my family members just like you do. And I'm thankful that in many instances, problems can be worked out. But I am convinced that it would be better if we never had those problems, if we can avoid those problems. One of the reasons that most of us ministers who perform wedding ceremonies will request that there be some marriage counseling, and I think even some of the governments or some parts of the government are saying that now. One of the reasons is that we want to try to get across information that will help people deal with their problems before they let those problems really enlarge to where there are more serious problems. And in fact, I've got a tract that I've read that's entitled The Time to Get a Divorce. And the gist of it is the best time to get a divorce is before you marry. And there are two of you couples sitting here tonight that are planning to get married. If you think that you might be interested in getting separated pretty soon after that, then do something about it now before you go through all of that expense. And I can give you some other reasons too. What are we trying to do? We're trying to teach us to avoid problems. He said, that ye sin not. But, and if any man sin, then we have the opportunity. I'm glad that the prodigal son could come home. But I wish he'd stayed at home. There's the fifth chapter of Proverbs. It's a rather interesting chapter. The first several verses, down through about verse 14, warn the son about a strange woman, how he can become involved with a strange woman and the problems that would be associated with that. And indication is how he'd need to get out of that if he got into it. But then beginning at verse 15, he talks about the value of enjoying the relationship with your own wife and being satisfied and ravished and joyful with her love. And it seems to me that there is at least included in that teaching that if we would have a better relationship with each other, whether it's the home, the church, the community, whatever it is, that we will tend to avoid getting into those relationships that we do not need to have. If I find the food at home that I need to take care of my appetite for food, I'm probably not going to get out and steal food from somewhere else. And if we have the right relationship in our families with each other, and we have the right relationship in the church family with each other, we're going to have our needs fulfilled for the appetites that we have, and we're likely not going to be looking somewhere else to fulfill those appetites. I guess what I'm saying is embodied in a statement we've heard so many times, if you'll take care of your business, you won't have time to be minding mine. And if you'll do a good job, if each of us will do a good job of what he has and taking care of what he has, he's not as likely to get into areas where he shouldn't go. One of the best things we can do for our teenagers is keep them busy doing good things. That's the best insurance against doing bad things that I know. And so I wish this son had stayed at home. And we need to learn by observation and instruction. We don't always have to experience something to know that we don't need to go there. I don't think I have to experience getting drunk to realize the problems that are associated with it. I've been associated with many people who'd abused alcohol. I have seen dads abuse their children because of that. I have seen husbands abuse their wives because of that. I have lived since 1960 with the results of a man under the influence of alcohol coming across the road, a line on the road in a gravel truck, hitting the car in which my father-in-law was driving was killed, and my mother-in-law was in it, never walked another step. My wife was in it and injured. I have observed that. I don't think I've got to go to get drunk and get out on the road and have a wreck and cause agony to other people to realize the problem that's there. Let's learn by observation. And I suspect that this younger son, this prodigal son, had seen enough to know that there were problems associated with, or at least a strong possibility of problems being associated with the kind of life that he was about to live. But he was torn between two general pulls. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now here we believe the Father represents God, and that this Son represents one who is in God's family and who leaves and goes out into the world. He had the pull of the world, just like Jesus had the pull of the temptations of the devil and the love of God at the same time. He had pulls from both directions. He had the idea on one side that everybody is doing it, and on the other side that his family didn't want him to do it. He had the pull on one side of all the rights, so I've got the rights as a young man to do all these things, and the pull on the other side of the responsibilities that he had for himself and in his family. He had the pull on one hand of material things and the pull on the other hand of spiritual things. Probably had not set his affection on things above, as we are admonished in Colossians 3, 1 through 2. I would guess that this young man had the pull of living for today and the pleasures of sin for a season, as talked about with Moses, and the idea of building a lifetime and looking at things over a long period of time. There's a tendency on the part of young people, and we've all been there, to just look at today. This is what I want. This is what I need today. Maybe not even think about what's been done for me in the past or what needs to be done in the future, but just looking at today instead of looking at a lifetime. He had the pull between give me what I want and make me what I ought to be. He had the pull between his wants and his needs. And all of us have a hard time making a clear distinction between those two things, even as we grow older. We have a tendency to think that many of our wants are really needs when they are not. If you sum up what we're talking about and ask the question, why did this young man leave home? I think there may have been three factors at least involved. One, he probably had become tired of the same routine. There's just got to be something out there that's different. Here I am at home, I work, I get up, got the same family, same things every day. There's just got to be something out there that's different. So I guess he was tired of the same routine. I think another factor, and I'm pretty sure this was present there, and in most of the instances where sons or daughters leave home and go out into the world, I don't mean the world in the sense of the earth, but into worldliness, I think it's because they don't appreciate what they have. Most of the time, we don't appreciate what we have because we think more in terms of what we don't have and what somebody else has. And then another way we might look at this, I'm pretty sure that this young man thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. You've probably driven along the road sometime when there's a bunch of cattle, and the field where they are looks just as green as they can be, and maybe there's one little green spot outside the fence, and that cow's got her head under the fence as far as she can reach to get that one little spot when all she'd have to do is just use the grass that she's got. When I was growing up, my dad traded in goats quite a bit. And one thing about a goat's horns is it always curves back this way. And those goats would decide they wanted something on the other side of the fence, and we had that wire fence that's got little squares in it about that big. And that goat could get its head through, but then it couldn't pull it back because the horns were catching. If I had a nickel for every goat I've gotten out of a fence that was trying to get the grass on the other side, I'd be much richer than I am tonight. I think he thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. We need to emphasize to our younger people, and we don't have a lot of those, but most of us are young at heart, that there are others who want to help you stay at home. There are others who want to help you avoid problems. I think any reasonable parent would do everything that he or she can to help a child avoid as many of the problems as possible. Sometimes parents will even sacrifice and hurt themselves in order to assure that their children are shielded from those things that can cause harm and pain to them. And whoever you are, and at whatever age you are tonight, you can know that you have a father that wants you to avoid as many mistakes as possible, that wants you to stay at home and not go into the far country. God is not willing that any should perish. Now let's put that into focus with our chapter tonight. God is not willing that anybody should go into the far country, and especially die there. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to deal with their mistakes at home and stay at home because of a father that loves him. Most children, almost without exception, have parents that want them to stay in the place that's right and not go into the far country. And in the church, I think generally speaking, we have brothers and sisters that want us to do right and to stay. Oh, we have our disagreements, and sometimes we'll get to thinking nobody loves me and nobody cares and nobody wants me, and it doesn't matter whether I'm there or not. That's just not true. Sometimes all of us do some stupid things and say some stupid things and leave some stupid impressions. But folks, generally speaking, the Father wants us to stay at home. Parents of this earth want us to stay at home. Our brothers and sisters in Christ want us to stay at home and not go out into the far country so that we've got to turn around and come back home. And so what I'm saying tonight is we need to do a better job of keeping Christians at home as well as being concerned about them when they go astray, but a better job keeping them at home. That young man could have stayed at home. He had a portion that belonged to him at that time. When he came back home, he didn't have that portion. And that's a part of another lesson for another time, but did you notice that he had less when he came back home than he had when he left? Even though he thought he could have anything he wanted? We need to do a better job of keeping ourselves at home and not leaving and going out into the far country. This may be a lesson that's a little different from any that you've heard on this chapter, but sometimes we overlook lessons that are just as important by teaching other lessons that get our attention. The lesson of the prodigal son gets our attention in that we want to bring him back. But I think there is an underlying lesson here that we want to keep him at home. And every time we can keep that goat from sticking his head through the fence, we don't have to get him out of the fence. And every time that we can keep the cow inside the fence instead of jumping over to get something on the other side, we don't have to run them down and get them back. And so a big part of our work in the church, I think a big part of the work of a preacher, is keeping the son at home as well as teaching to get him back home if he does go astray. The bottom line of everything that we've said tonight is that wherever we are, God wants us to be right with him. If we're at home, he wants us to stay. If we leave, he wants us to come back. And as we've already emphasized, he's willing to forgive. You see, it comes right down to the fact that the bottom line is that each one of us has the right and the responsibility to make a choice. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:15. Whosoever will can take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. God sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he puts the decision with us. I have the right and the responsibility to determine whether I'll stay in the faithful service to God or I'll leave home. I have the right and the responsibility to make choices relative to sin. And I have the right and the responsibility to make choices as to whether I'll do what God's told me to do to have forgiveness. We need to stay home if we can. And if we make mistakes, we need to come back. And in both of these cases, We're saying that the blood of Jesus Christ and the attitude of the Father in this story is such that we can receive forgiveness of our sins and we can keep the right relationship with God. If you've never become a part of the family, you need to become a son of God tonight through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins.